it's not talent. It is consistency and persistency to their craft. What they do is they absolutely hammer home on individual parts of their sport until it's at a stage where it's almost like a reflex, you know? And I think for me, being or playing sport at a competitive level gave me the edge over other people when it come to going into business, you know?
Hi, I'm Oliver Berquez, co-founder of 4D Fit, and welcome to the Brain, Brawn and Business Podcast, a podcast where I get business owners on to talk about their motivation, inspiration, successes and challenges they face in business. We'll provide some valuable and inspiring content for those that are in business or for those that are aspiring to start their business journey. Enjoy the episode. Hi everyone, welcome to today's podcast. Oliver here. Today I'm joined with H. Henry Doswell. H, thanks for coming on, mate.
Thank you for having me.
So looking forward to catching up with you. So just a little bit background on H. Obviously born and raised in Chelmsford.
I am.
Much like myself,
local,
mate. So you've been working recruitment for the last 7 years, trading under Ascension Recruitment for the last four. Obviously set up with a good friend called Mikey.
That's it, good friend turned business partner.
Good, mate, that's great. And obviously you've got grown it to a headcount of 15 staff.
That was at our biggest, yeah.
At your biggest, yeah. So obviously any business ups and downs, which is something we'll talk about today, which would be great to hear. And you're in the process of rebranding. So
We are. Our new company is going to be called Talent Magnet. It's going to be focused on the SME market and giving each job maximum exposure, but for a more affordable price than traditional agencies.
Yeah, great. So we'll be good to talk about that a little bit, mate. And obviously at the end mention that, because I think that's really important to know. And obviously, we chatted off air a little bit. Basketball, I didn't realise that. As a little string to your bow there.
That's my pedigree.
And you're into fitness as well. So I think shared sport and fitness is something, obviously, a passion of mine as well. So lots to cover. Thanks for coming on, mate, as
again,
I said.
Thanks for having me, mate.
Anything else you want to add to what you're doing?
No, not at this stage. Let's dive in.
Let's dive in.
Your podcast?
Let's dive in. So first thing I'll ask you is, what did you do from school, uni? First job?
School, uni, obviously, basketball academy for a few years, and then I actually went to work for my godfather's business. And one of his philosophies was that every business needs leads. Doesn't matter where your sales cycle starts. Every company needs new inquiries. So he actually taught me quite a lot about Google AdWords, now called Google Ads, Google Analytics, and lead generation through websites. So that was really one of my first jobs. It was a bit of an internship, but he really took me under his wing, showed me the ins and outs of his business, and taught me where it all starts from a customer point of view.
But like that's brilliant, because I think that even nowadays, now with things online, digital age we're in, actually creating leads from that online perspective is huge. So like that's what great, well that was your first job, how good that is to lead you into business now.
100%, I can't thank him enough, because it really is one of them things that stands the test of time.
Yeah.
And it applies to every single industry. Every company out there needs new inquiries to keep driving their business forward. So I think that set me up really well, obviously unbeknown to me at the time. I think that set me up really well to go away and actually set up on my own.
And that's it. And so then from there, just sort of go through the ages. So you were playing basketball. What age were you when you...
I went to Spain, played at an academy called Canarias Basketball Academy for 3 years, and then come back to the UK at 19. Originally, the plan was to go to America, play Division One NCAA college basketball, and then wherever it took me from there, hopefully, professional basketball player. Obviously, hasn't worked out that way. So after the academy, I come back to the UK, went to work for my godfather for a few years. One of the things that I was really grateful for was obviously getting an understanding of lead generation, but it goes hand in hand with sales. Once the leads are passed over, you know, a lot of the time to get a new customer on board, you actually have to have a sales department or a little bit of customer interaction. And that was one of the things that I couldn't do with him. So I left the business, went over to Spain to work for a property company. Spent 2.5-3 years there, learning direct sales. A lot of it was telesales, a lot of it was face-to-face, taking customers out, viewing properties, that type of thing. Really tried to understand the connection between new leads and engaging the customer. And then once we had that, got a better understanding of different products, different industries, come back to the UK, got a job in recruitment. Absolutely loved it, because obviously you're networking with people, it's really customer focused, you get to engage with all different caliber individuals. And after doing that for 3 or 4 years, thought, I think I've got the core skills to do it myself. Partnered up with Mikey, who we briefly mentioned, and started our own business.
Yeah, the stuff obviously you did with to your uncle and that, and learning, and then leading into where your business now. How much of the stuff that you learned, has it shaped you into business now, or have you done anything else to develop your business skill sets on top of that?
Oh, there's loads we've done on top of that. I mean, there's loads, probably too much to cover in a 15-20 minute podcast, but I'm a massive believer in personal development and developing yourself as an individual, and then obviously that having an indirect impact on your business. What would I say the biggest things are? It's a tough one, you know. That's a really, 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 really tough question. I don't think you're ever the complete article. I think, you know, you've got to be dynamic. You're constantly evolving. You're constantly learning from other individuals. And as you said, we met at a networking event. That's one of my favourite things to do, is see what's working well in other industries. This podcast being one of them, I'm probably going to poach your idea and try and tailor it a little bit to my industry.
Yeah.
But yeah, really learning from other people, I'd say, was the keys to the success we've had today.
Yeah, it's good. Personal development's come up a lot in terms of with the guests I've had on so far. It seems a real common theme, you know, that people always learning, always trying to develop. What things have you done or do you do for your personal development?
For me, I'm a massive believer in habits. Creating routine, repeating the process. I can't remember which speaker it was I was listening to, but something that really hit home and had a big impact on me was persistency and consistency, and trying to rinse and repeat everything that I do until it's at a stage where it's not perfect, because nothing's ever perfect, is it? But until I can do it with my eyes closed, and it almost becomes a bit second nature, you know?
Yeah, no, definitely. No, I get that. And then with like, so I wanted to tell me, I want to go back to actually, you talked about basketball. So we spoke off Asian, so football's my background, team sport.
Yeah.
Things that sort of shaped me and I've learned in business are sort of what football taught me and stuff, you know? And I'm really valuable for those lessons that it's taught me. Obviously, team sport, you were in basketball. Is there anything that you learned in basketball from that team sport, any of the elements of that that you take into business now?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it's really hard to narrow down the individual because you're quite close to it at the time. But I'd say one of the biggest things that I took away from playing team sport was work ethic. You know, competitive nature is one that on reflection I can see I actually got from sport and I carried into business. But you know, work ethic, there's a lot of sports people out there, which I imagine we'll probably come on to a bit later, that I really look up to. And what really separates, in my opinion, the top 1%, it's not talent, it is consistency and persistency to their craft. What they do is they absolutely hammer home on individual parts of their sport until it's at a stage where it's almost like a reflex, you know? And I think for me, being or playing sport at a competitive level gave me the edge over other people when it come to going into business. You know, you've got to be resilient. You're going to have ups, you're going to have downs. Sometimes the downs, you know, they have a massive impact on your mindset. But to me, the way I see it nowadays is it's no different to losing a game. It must be the same in a football match. You know, when you come off, sometimes you're kicking yourself, you're reflecting on it, you think, I could have done this better, I could have done that better. It's exactly the same in business. You have good days, you have bad days, but it's just about picking yourself up and, you know, getting onto it and looking onto the next
achievement. Yeah, from that perspective, how do you, the bad days, how do you get over it? What's your sort of process of doing that? Because something that struck me about yourself, we met a couple of times, or second time today, is you're a positive guy, you know, the way you come across, you're a positive guy, the way you come across. I know sabbatical might have helped, which I want to talk about as well.
Yeah,
today.
Yeah,
but,
definitely.
But what things do you do to kind of overcome any disappointments and stresses in a day?
That's a tough one. Meditation, which is something the last, probably, since I've been back from my sabbatical, I've probably slipped off a little bit. But I'm a massive, massive believer in healthy body, healthy mind. Yeah. But actually training the mind as well. So, as you said, positive attitude.
Yeah. So meditation, do you do it a certain time of day?
It
How would it work for you, meditation?
Yeah, I start by reading. So my mind is really active. I'm always thinking about lots of different things. Yeah, even if I'm focused on one, I'm probably thinking about another.
Because that's come up a couple of times, Cal, isn't it? Meditation, how people, the way it's starting to come up now. Yeah.
Yeah. So do you use the Headspace app?
No, I don't. I've got my own little mind body scan. I do. Oh, just 5 minutes. I don't use anything or anyone. It's just something I do.
Well, I try and do that.
But Headspace is good.
Yeah, it's a really good app. I'd recommend it to anyone who struggles to meditate or has tried maybe YouTube videos. And I think that in answer to your original question, the way that I deal with bad days is trying to take myself out of the situation, going for a walk, being alone with my own mind, occasionally reading, and then meditating for 10 or 20 minutes. And you'd be surprised. You'd be surprised on the effect it actually has on, you know, your own personal well-being.
Yeah, no, I get it, 100%. You know, like self-care, self-affirmation, you know, stuff like that is so important.
Exactly.
You know, you said about the four quotes you got in the four.
Yeah, I like that a lot.
Four quotes you have above the self-care, above the gym, all there. So when's your main time for meditating then? In the evening.
Okay. Yeah, it's not part of my morning routine.
Okay.
I'm a bit of a night owl, in all honesty. I'm not a naturally get up and go morning type of person. You know, you've got this whole 5 a.m. club, 6 a.m.
Yeah, but that's which has been quite common. So actually, because again, that's been really common. We've had a lot of people's morning routines really strong.
Yeah.
So
I have a morning routine.
Yeah, but that's what I want to hear about actually. Because if you're not as morning person, what is your morning? How would your morning routine look?
So
like?
I start by showering and shave.
Yep.
Get my head on. If I can have a cold shower and I can stomach it, I have a cold shower to wake me up. More often than not, it's a warm shower. Get out, brush my teeth before breakfast, which I know is a bit unusual, but again, it really does help me wake up. And then I start with a green juice. Every single morning I have a green juice, and it's almost become a little bit ritual for
me. What's in your green juice?
Oh, I've got a recipe book. I should have brought it with me.
I know, it's interesting to see what it is. Yes, you've got, so right, so clean your teeth, shower, green juice.
Yep, and then probably my favourite part of my morning routine is a gratitude diary. Every single morning before I start my day, I have a shower, shave, make my bed. I got that off someone in the army actually, who was like talking about little successes and building momentum. So I make my bed, I have my green juice, and then I sit down and I always write down three things that I'm grateful for, because it puts me in the mindset of being really appreciative for the things that I've got and creating that positive momentum for the rest of my day.
That's cool. And what, and then after that, three things, is it?
After that, if I haven't got training in the evening for basketball, I'll try and get a bit of exercise in. It's usually not a tremendous amount.
So you're training in the morning, yeah?
A lot of the time, if I can.
Okay, so going on to, so that's your morning routine. Evening routine, because you said obviously for you that when it, so meditation happens. Are you quite set on your evening routine or not?
Yes, so my diary is a little bit inconsistent. So we usually have games Mondays and Saturdays, and we have training Wednesdays and Thursdays. So on the days that I have training, we train from 8 till 10 in the evening. By the time I get home, it's usually time to wind down. On them days, I'll be honest, I tend to watch a little bit of shit TV.
Yeah.
Oh, excuse my language.
No, don't worry, mate, it's fine. It's cool.
Adult podcast, is it? On the days that I am not training for basketball, I like to unwind by friends and family. You know, get a bit of personal time in just to take myself out of the business world, take myself out of the competitive world. Really just relax. But it's not as much as a routine in the evening as it is the morning.
No, just obviously, so you've got the commitment to basketball, and then on the days we're not playing basketball, it's just meditation, anything non-work related almost, just release from the day.
Exactly. Yeah. Try and almost separate myself completely.
And that's a challenge.
Yeah, it is, because we live on our phones nowadays, don't we?
Everything can be done from the phone. And
and a lot of the time the phone is a distraction as well.
Yeah, like I think it's one of the most amazing, anyone on the podcast who Cal is obviously a videographer and in the conversation here, everyone's wondering who that is. But we had a chat the other day and stuff. I just think it's amazing now that business can be done from a mobile phone. It's one of the amazing things in the world. But it can be also the Achilles heel for people as well sometimes, where they can't get away from that.
Definitely.
And myself included sometimes, you know,
I struggle to switch off sometimes. Do you have that?
On the phone quite a lot, yeah. But I love what I do, so I love my work, I love my passion. So business isn't an issue, I really enjoy it, so it's not a stress. So it's like, are you working in the evening? If I'm working in the evening, but I'm really enjoying it, so what can I do? But it's great to hear you say that, because I don't think that's enough, that you can literally unattach yourself from work into the evening.
Exactly. For me, it really is about balance. I think you can overwork yourself, and I think you can overrelax, and it's about finding the sweet spot in both. So both run at optimal efficiency for me.
Right, morning routine, evening routine, that's set. I want to talk about your daily habits. You mentioned habits about 5 minutes ago. Daily habits to me, key. I'm real habits are essential to my daily thing. So I'd like to hear more more habits you have, because you mentioned habits being important.
Yeah, definitely. So one of the big things, I was never particularly fantastic at English in school, English literature, English language. And I think in later life that had a big impact on reading. But obviously nowadays we've got audiobooks, which is something I've massively, massively bought into, and I suppose podcasts is a smaller version of an audiobook. So one thing I always try to do after I've got through my sort of mini morning daily routine in the car, always try and flick an audiobook on. I'm a big believer in learning from different people, different industries, different experiences more than anything. And there's some fantastic content out there. You'd be surprised how some of the things you learn, they really give you that shift in mindset and shift in focus that otherwise you'd never have been aware of. So that's a massive one for me. If I've got not so much to my office, because I only live 15 minutes away from it, but if I've got a slightly long commute to my first meeting or something, I'll always try and stick an audiobook on in the car and just try and increase my knowledge base.
And what are your audiobooks then? What type of learning will that be for you?
A lot of the time, the audiobooks I listen to are one of two things. They're either from someone that I look up to or try and look into, and I'll try and get an understanding of their model and what's created their success. But sometimes it's about personal development as well. Sometimes it's about fitness. Sometimes it's about mindset. What's my favourite book? Have you read? Is it Andrew Priestley, Oversubscribed?
No, I haven't read it.
That's
I do
a
love
great
reading,
one.
But yeah. I haven't read it. So I'll have a look. It's one to look at. Yeah, what was so good about that one?
It gave me a different perception of how some of the best businesses succeed. So, for example, Apple as a product. They don't have the best technology, but they've got the best branding.
Apple's such a good story.
And when they release a product, they release it with limited numbers, which means everyone can't have access to it. It creates an exclusivity. As a result, that drives their price up, and often their retail price. Yeah. There's a streetwear brand, Supreme. Have you seen them about?
No.
They do very, very limited stock. And they do a lot of collaborations with high-end designer brands, but that's not really their niche. They started off as a streetwear brand. And whenever they do something, it's always quirky. So they might release a brick with Supreme printed on it, or they might release an umbrella with their Larry Red branding over it. So it's instantly recognisable, but there's only 1,000 of them. And what that's done is, there's a million people that want it. It means there's always demand for their product.
Very clever.
That really opened my eyes.
So good. So some learning there. Thanks for the book. I've written that down. I think it's out a little bit, but I'm not coming to the end of the word, but I'm currently reading. What is any other habits you got?
Yeah, definitely. For me, I try and exercise at least 5 times a week. I'd like it to be daily.
And is that additional to basketball, Matt? Or do you include basketball?
No, I include that. Yeah, I include basketball in that. So as a rule of thumb, I play basketball 3 to 4 times a week, and then I'll try and get down the gym 3 to 4
And what are you doing? Because you said you go to a local gym in Chelmsford, which is good. You're one of the self-discipline then. You can get in there, you do it, and
I try.
How was your fitness set? How would that look?
So I'm a big believer in compound movements. I suppose that ties into the sport that I'm in.
Definitely.
I do a lot of deadlifts, a lot of clean and jerks, chin ups, pull ups, press ups, a lot of body weight movements. I try and do that 2 or 3 times a week, but it's finding that balance, isn't it? One of the things I'm not very good at, which I'm trying to get better at, is actually allocating my rest periods to almost doing nothing. Having a blocked out period in my diary where there's nothing pre-planned.
Yeah.
I suppose you're probably a bit like it yourself. There's a lot of structure, a lot of routine. You run on your clients' timetables a lot of the time.
Well, completely. Well, we have a system here at 4D. Cal's actually, this was an interesting one for you, wasn't it? Because Cal, I think Cam's is training. He said, "Want to get stronger." I said, "Well, look, right, you're going to start doing some sessions here." And you can believe the rest times and the science behind it. Because Cam would do an exercise, and when he goes straight into the next exercise, "Whoa, slow down, Cam." It's like, you need to recover. So there is a science to the rest period. And for us, actually, to get stronger, and for people in a proper, structured, correct weight training program, the recovery is really important.
And that's something I've only learned recently. Yeah. I think I've known it, but I've only recently applied it to my routines.
Yeah, you were on the C series before we finished the A, weren't you? Really, you were flying. Yeah, but now you're
getting in and out.
Yeah, he's, now he's right. Now he's like even asking. You said, "Can I train?" You even asking to train yesterday. So I love that.
Yeah.
I was having to. So the first like week, it was like you're training now. No, it was like this.
Yeah.
And then like...
Your muscles are and then, sore, no, your head's then, not in it.
Well, 8 weeks in, it's like, can I train tomorrow? It's like, whoa.
Yeah, no, you get into routine.
Yeah, we've converted him, so it's good to see. But going back to that, so you do that type of training in the gym.
Yeah.
And can I ask, because it's interesting when I get a guest on, you know, someone, a business owner on, talking about business. How do you find the crossover between fitness and business? Do you think there is a crossover, and does it help you in your day?
Me personally, yeah. Let's say I had 3 or 4 days off of training, I immediately start to feel a little bit slower, if that makes sense. I start to feel a little bit stagnant. And I've always been a massive believer in having a healthy body. Having a healthy body helps you have a healthy mindset. Having a healthy mindset obviously helps you perform better. And that's not just on the court or off the pitch or anything like that. That can be in your family life with your relationships. That can be in business, in your office, how you communicate with people. And for me, yeah, definitely. I feel like when I'm consistently training outside of the gym, I'm a lot more attentive, I'm a lot more focused, I have much better energy levels, and I think the two really go hand in hand. There's definitely a connection. I'm not sure on the exact science, it's probably more your area than mine.
Yeah, no, there is a science and stuff like that, and I think what's really important is, I mean, we have a lot of the business owners and the clients we have here that are very senior in their position, have high pressure jobs, and we're finding now actually that getting them to invest time in themselves, getting them healthier and fitter, mm-hmm. is making their work more productive.
Yeah, definitely.
So there is, sort of know that, but it's interesting when I get someone on, because not every guest actually has done is into fitness at the moment.
Yeah.
So it's interesting when I do get someone on, mm-hmm. finding out what your thoughts on that.
Now, my advice to anyone that's not into fitness, has never been into fitness, you know, take the leap of faith, get into it. At first, it's, you know, you're going to be sore, you're going to have days that you don't want to return to the gym, but 2 to 3 weeks in, you will see an impact, see an effect.
So because you have that mindset with your team, obviously with your team, your employees, how does that work for them? Obviously they do a set shift, so what are you as a boss, how do you encourage that? How is the working environment? How can an employee, are they allowed to have time off to train in their day? How does it work for you?
So for us, we've tried all sorts. We've had very rigid diaries, you know, strictly 9 to 5, come in, clock in, clock out. We've had flexible working where you've got your core 10 hours, and you manage it around, because I'm a big believer in people are individuals. No two people are a carbon copy of each other. So for example, one of the senior guys that used to be with us, Leon, he had 3 kids, and one of his big things was actually spending time with his family, and he wanted to be able to take the kids to school and pick them up, which obviously doesn't work with your traditional 9 to 5 jobs. So for him, the core working hours, allowing him to take the kids to school, come in a little bit later, that fulfilled him in another way, and he performed a lot better in the office. One of the things we've tried to do with our business is actually create a culture that is naturally competitive. The industry we're in, being recruitment consultants, it's ultimately a performance-related industry. And I think if you can take them soft skills from sport and get that competitive nature, it really does set you up for success within the office environment or within the business or the workplace. So we've got a couple of really sort of shining stars in our business or had done in the past. Two of them that stand out for me is Oliver Logue. He's a young guy. He really sort of honed his craft in bowls, which is a really unusual and quirky sport, but it's still competitive by nature.
Yeah.
He's still with us, one of our top performers, absolutely love him to bits, and I think he's carried across what he's learned within bowls into the workplace.
But that's going back to team sport environment, bowl, you know, that type of, you do, it does shape, you can't get, you know, business school doesn't give you certain attributes or...
It doesn't.
To lead you into business, so like that, Those things you hear a lot, you know.
Yeah, another example would be Madeline Wright. She plays professional football at a really high level. I think she was with Tottenham for quite a while. She's recently gone across to Millwall. It's soft skills that you can't necessarily teach in a classroom. Things that you pick up on a pitch, things that you pick up on a field, the teamwork aspect, the competitive aspect. You know, they're all really, really good attributes, as you say. in a business environment.
Yeah, so you mentioned, we've chatted Sport Affair, so I'm sure you've got some sporting heroes and stuff. So do you have personal heroes? And then also, why do you hold them in such high regard?
Cool, I've got loads.
Good. I love this, because the reason I ask it is because...
I suppose start with mine then, basketball.
Yeah, because people have heroes, and actually... They inspire you. You aspire to be them, or you learn things from them. That's life. That's what it is. So, personal heroes, I think, is so important in people and for that motivation.
100%.
So yes, basketball heroes first.
Basketball heroes first. Steph Curry, current NBA MVP.
Okay.
Why? It's his work ethic.
Yeah.
He's not the biggest guy. He's not the strongest guy. You know, he's 6'2" in height, but the speed that he learns things is incredible. His muscle memory and his discipline. And Kobe Bryant is another one. He's built a brand off the back of it. Everyone knows Kobe Bryant. His sub-brand is Mamba Mentality. And he does things that, to the normal, I suppose, the normal professional basketball player would be seen as obscene. He might, if everyone else takes 100 shots in the gym, he might take 1,000 shots. If everyone else practices with boom whackers and distortion noises in the background to create a bit of unfocus, he'll have camera flashes. And it's just about that next level. And it's the work ethic within them individuals that I personally look up to.
But like Cal, we've been saying, you know, like we say about the highly successful people and even the chat people around the podcast and things like they're wired that way. Like people, this is interesting because you see people at the top and their life's easy and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But they work harder than everyone
else. They
wasn't
always wired that way though. That's the interesting thing for me is they've created that.
But they work harder than anyone else and everyone sees them at the top and they see, I might drive a nice car and do all of this, but they don't realise what's gone into do that. So 100%. Kobe Bryant's stories and the numerous other like legends in their field have this like desire and work ethic.
Yeah.
Like The Rock, isn't it? I can't remember who said it the other day. The Rock.
Yeah.
Lovely quotes, hardest worker in the room, and his story and stuff. Yeah, these people.
Yeah.
Inspiring. So that's Kobe, any others?
For them, they're my two basketball ones and they're my two work ethic ones. Within a business environment there's loads. You know, you got your Alan Sugars.
Disconnected.
Oh no.
How long ago did that happen?
Not that long ago.
Okay, we'll let you reconnect. We got Wi-Fi. That what it is?
Yeah, we do have Wi-Fi, but I don't think, I mean...
You're on 4G apparently, so
we're back in.
Yeah.
Other people that I look up to, within a business sense, obviously you've got a lot of UK entrepreneurs that are self-made. They're the ones I particularly like, so you've got your Alan Sugars, your Richard Bransons. From a visionary point of view and thinking outside the box, which a lot of people don't agree with, it rubs them up the wrong way, it's not something that's been seen before. I like Elon Musk. If you'd have said 10 or 15 years ago, all cars on the road are going to be electric, people would have laughed at you. But it's something one of our coaches speaks about quite frequently. And there's two types of people. There's people that believe to see, and there's people that see to believe. And for me, Elon Musk, he can believe things before they're ever in reality, and they almost manifest themselves into becoming.
But that takes, we said obviously early in the conversation, you know, that basically with people like that, they're not worrying about what other people think.
100%.
They have this self-belief in themselves, what they're doing. Because if they did, it wouldn't create that. Because everyone goes, you're talking rubbish probably to him. He's probably been told that.
Because there's
much.
No evidence of it.
No.
It's all
but
in
they have
head.
That self-belief. And I love it. I think if people tell you not, you can't do something, it really, I mean, for me, it fuels my fire a
100%.
Lot.
That's, I completely agree.
It really fuels my fire because I think anything's possible and it's like...
It really
you know,
is.
If you believe in it, you want to do it, it's great. And actually, when people doubt you or don't, it fuels my fire.
That doubt... And I never realised it for a long time, but I think it's not reverse psychology. It's not like if you say to me, you won't do that, I'll do it. It's not a lad culture or anything like that. But doubt is one of my biggest motivators. If I've set my mind to do something and two or three people say to me, oh, it's never going to happen, you're going to face this challenge, people have tried it before, it hasn't worked, it makes me more determined to make it work. You know, I want to prove it to myself, but I want to prove it to others as well.
That's great, but that isn't a lad thing or like an ego, you know, macho thing like that. That's just a good thing for people to do. So I want people to doubt. I want people to...
It creates that drive.
Of course it does. Yeah. You want some negativity.
And when it works, it makes it all that more rewarding.
It does, yeah. And then you don't have to... You know, people will see it. You don't have to say anything. Yeah. Let people see it.
On the business topic, one of the things within our company was innovating the recruitment industry. It had been the same model for the past 100 years since after World War II, and it works on a rebate system where the client pays up front and the candidate does the work. If it doesn't work out for whatever reason, the client might receive a portion of their money back, which for me, not coming from a recruitment background originally, seemed counterintuitive. From a moral and an ethical point of view, I believe you should only pay for something that you see value and you're happy with. So we tried to flip that on its head a little bit. And what we tried to do was align our goals, which are obviously financial, with our clients' goals and our candidates' goals. And the way that we've done that is we just completely flipped the model on its head. We said, right, okay, we'll take a bit more risk. We'll do the work. We'll place the candidate with you, to the client, that is. If you're happy with them after a certain assessment period, you can choose how long that is. It could be 4 weeks, 8 weeks, or 12 weeks. We'll take our fee at the end of it. If you're not happy, then we take no fee whatsoever, which ultimately means there's no situation where our client can hire from us, not be happy with the candidate, and pay a fee. And it's that whole innovation.
Do you think the fact that you weren't brought up in industry, learned bits away from it, is helping it? Because actually,
100%.
Because it's revolutionising a little bit. It's fresh, making it fresh.
100%. It's fresh approach. Yeah. Clean irons.
Yeah, and this is why I think for you, doing a podcast, like recruitment, don't see people doing podcasts or sharing their voice in that way. Like, and you know, you're fresh the way you are, the way you come across, your beliefs, your positivity, your learning, your outlook, the things that you do, we've already covered. I think, mate, great podcast, mate. I think you'd change.
I'm going to start. You've
inspired
me.
You should, though, because I think it'll be.
Will you be
different.
My first guest?
Oh, of course I will, mate. You know that, of course.
Well, you've heard it here first.
Yeah, you've heard it. Yeah, definitely. But, like, we say that to you, Kat, don't I? Like, when we're saying about, you know, obviously, aged in the podcast and things like that, it's doing things you want to do and stuff, or you're passionate about. And, like, so you saying about you coming in and changing it.
Everyone in our industry says it won't work.
It's written this way, it's got to do it. No, you do it the way you think and you go and you live by the sword, die by the sword. If it doesn't work, you learn
adapt
from it. If it does work, you've got to evolve. We have to evolve in the fin industry, you know? We come up against a lot of quick fixes and you can take a few shakes and you pop a few tablets and little things like that. So we do that and, you know, and airbrushed abs or things like that, and people think skinny's healthy. It's not necessarily. So there's always contradictory stuff in the fitness industry. So we create a program, we have a message about long-term approach, don't we, Callum, when we're talking to clients, so it's a lifestyle transformations. But again, you have to roll with your programs and adapt. If something doesn't work, be self-critical, self-analytical of it, and look at it, how can you improve it? So you have to always evolve and adapt. So
100%, that was one of our
innovation, as you're saying, you're talking about it innovation, is. That's it, innovation.
Innovation and being dynamic, you know. I don't believe there's any industry out there that doesn't suffer from change.
Yeah.
And being adaptable and being dynamic and sometimes proactive, sometimes reactive, I think is one of the massive keys to success.
Yeah. So business, success and challenges in business. Everyone has success and challenges or mistakes, things you learn from. I'd love to know things you said, you know, any challenge you faced and how you've learned from them, if you can share.
God, there's a new challenge every day,
yeah,
I think.
Of course,
For me, the biggest one would be consistent growth. Especially if you're an entrepreneur, if you haven't got 20 years work experience under your belt before starting your own business in that industry, biggest challenge would be consistent growth, knowing when the right time to grow is, knowing what area to grow it. Is it increasing staff headcount? Is it increasing revenue? Is there trigger points? One of the biggest things, one of the biggest learning curves we've had is probably hiring at the wrong time. But you learn from your mistakes, don't you?
Of course,
at the end of the day.
What's been your biggest success?
Ooh, that's a good question.
Biggest success.
We've got some fantastic clients on board. You know, we've got some really, really good key partnerships with people that are loyal to, I don't know if it's us as individuals or the company or the brand.
But there's some loyalty there.
But I'm really proud of quite a loyal customer base.
Is it built on relationships?
I think so. I class recruitment as a relationship-based economy. I'm a big believer in collaboration over competition. So I think there's a lot of recruitment companies out there. There's thousands of recruitment companies out there, and I think there's a lot of work we can do together that won't necessarily be treading on each other's toes.
Yeah, it's cool.
A bit of a softer level. Two people I really look up to are my mum and dad. I know it's not your traditional sort of, massive success in business.
It's been said a few times, can't it?
Has it?
Mum and dad, parents.
Grandparents, the lawyer.
Yeah, grandparents is another one. That's one that I always actually neglect, but I've done a post on it about a year or so ago, and you've got to be grateful for the things that we've got. Like, I'm extremely fortunate, and a lot of the things we take for granted, but when I speak to my nan and granddad on my dad's side, hearing their story, I think it was about 2 or 3 years ago, I'd always assumed my nan and granddad had flown over from Jamaica. Well, that wasn't true at all.
Yeah.
My granddad comes about 6 months before my nan, and he come on a boat that took 2.5 weeks. And when they first moved here, they lived in a one-bedroom bedsit that had a shared toilet. And all these things that we take for granted now, get up in the morning, have a hot shower, get up in the morning, put your nice new shoes on. They didn't have them luxuries.
Perspective as well, isn't it?
That contrast and the growth that's happened over the last 40 years. When I look back on it, I think actually that's the core of my inspiration. It just makes me more thankful for the things we've got today.
Great, that's really good, buddy. Really good. What advice would you give to anyone starting in business or in your industry?
Oh, I've got two different answers to that. So,
cool.
Anyone starting in business. A sort of generalist answer for me would be, make sure that what you're doing is your passion. A lot of people get into business because they see a financial opportunity, or someone has an idea with them and they think they can connect their skill sets, and that can be successful in itself, but that's on the good days. On the bad days, when it's really tough, you've got to love what you're doing. So you're the primest example of it. You can see it in your eyes, you can see it in your energy levels. You know, you really love what you're doing. You care about your clients, you care about the results, the impact that it has. And that would be the one piece of advice that I give anyone who's thinking about setting up a business, is just make sure it's your passion, and then align your passion with your purpose, and it's bound to be a success.
And that's great advice, H. What if your passion can't earn a living? How do you do it? That's around the question. Curveball on the question.
Give me an example.
Oh, I don't know, actually.
Any passion can make it. You can make it in 2019.
Of course you can.
You can make a business out of anything.
Yeah,
so
no, I do.
I struggle to think of something. Whether
that's, mate, you're right.
It could be dream catchers. You know, them little things. I always see them, and I think, how do people make a living out of that? But there's enough people that are spiritual enough that buy enough of them, you can create an online, an e-commerce business. You can set up a stand, a stall. It's got to be congruent with your goals. You might not be a millionaire off of it, but it might passion, be enough to pay the bills.
Yeah, 100%. No, I get that totally. And then you said the other answer.
The other answer, what was the second half of the question?
Yeah, I said about what advice starting in business business and in your industry.
In my industry, it would really be learn as much as possible about the niche that you want to go into. So recruitment is a massive, massive, massive sector. If you want to be an executive headhunter, learn from the best executive headhunter. Try and model exactly what they're doing.
But how would you get into, so are you almost saying, like, from someone in your industry then, hearing this, might be something, actually I want to get into recruitment, are you saying, look, go and work for free if you need to, just go and work alongside
100%
people who
rub shoulders, rub shoulders with the people that you want to be, like, network, get your name out there.
Yeah.
Work for free if you have to.
Yeah.
It might not be a solution that has any longevity to it. You know, you might only be able to do it for 2 or 3 weeks. But think about the bits of information that you could cherry pick, or you could learn from them, from them successfully.
So I want to ask you a question, if you don't mind me asking it, because you mentioned about the fact that you didn't, you weren't in the recruitment sector. You come into it with a fresh set of eyes, made 100%. It fresh and helped your business.
Yeah.
Now you've mentioned about learn from people, being in the industry. Mm-hmm. Is that a slight downside of the, although you brought that positive side, it's been positive, is that a slight downside from your own perspective that you haven't understood it enough?
100%.
If you don't mind me asking the question.
No, not at all. It's, you know, as you said, I want it to be authentic. One of the biggest challenges we faced was not having that, what we call recruitment pedigree. And we were quite conscious of it. You know, we were very self-aware that, why should people take us seriously? You know, we're not an authority figure. We've got no track record as such. But there's other things you can do to counteract that. So one of the things we'd done was actually partnered with another agency. They had an existing client base. They'd built it to a massive scale, but they wasn't as energetic, is the wrong word. They wasn't as dynamic as myself and Michael. They'd become a bit stagnant. Their business had tapered off from about 25 mil down to about 5, down to 1, and they couldn't see where they were going wrong. So we said to them, look, there's a lot we think we can add to your business, but at the same time, there's a lot we want to draw from you. And it really was their knowledge base and things that might not come out in a 5-minute conversation, but if you're working together in an office in a closed
environment. But collaborations, I think people overlook that. Collaborations, you saying that. I mean, that's brilliant, because it's like they're giving you something maybe you couldn't do or you needed, and you're giving them an injection they need. It's a perfect fit. And it was. Think we don't, collaborations don't work.
Our skill sets in that situation really complement
each
other.
Get it, it's really good. That's brilliant. So that's great. And then, I love asking because, you know, quotes, any words you live by?
Yes. Have you seen my Instagram?
No, I'm good now. Like, we just connected on Instagram, so I'm going to start saying
I love quotes.
I love quotes and stuff. It motivates me, inspires me, you know. I'm a bit philosophical like that.
Yeah, me too.
It takes me to places.
Big picture thing, 100%.
Definitely.
Wayne Gretzky, I think, is
the hockey player. Yeah.
You miss 100% of the shots you don't take.
Yes, good.
That leap of faith, that's one of my favourite ones.
It's great.
So what if you miss the shot? Do you know what I mean? Take it. Because if you don't take it, you're not gonna know anyway.
Well, we said that off air, and we actually, that was something we said, didn't we, before we started going, like, obviously on the podcast and stuff, about, I'm not going to say it, because I think you're going to say the quote. I liked it. Remember when you said, are you going to say that
was
one?
Was it Dunn's better than
yeah,
perfect?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Is that it. What you're going to say that, or is it?
I used to be, I'm working on it. I used to class myself as a bit of a perfectionist.
Yeah.
And as a result, I'd procrastinate on things and it would never get done. And I'd be afraid of what people's opinions are going to be or what the comments are going to be. And I would just sit on it. And after a while, I realised that, you know, just getting it done and getting it out there has a much bigger impact than not getting it done and it being perfect behind closed doors. So, yeah, that's another one of my quotes.
Good though. These people are great.
Yeah. You don't have to be great to start, but you do have to start to be great.
Yeah, get it. Yeah, yeah.
A dream is just a dream. A goal is a dream with a plan and a deadline. That's Harvey McKay. Favourite ones. There's so many good ones out there. I'm a big fan of quotes.
No, but I generally mean it. I think that And it's amazing, Cal, when we've asked the guests have been on and we've asked about the quotes and stuff, they say some quotes or words they live by or whatever it may be. And I mean, Chris, previous guest, actually, I posted his podcast, the post I posted today, the poem called If.
I love the poem. Yeah, amazing. Brilliant.
So there are, everyone resonates with this stuff that it's, you know, it builds into people's ethos and their
belief system,
yeah. Definitely. So I get it. Yep. Leave us with one more, mate, because I do. We're going on.
Okay, we were talking earlier about fear, and how fear prevents us doing things.
Yeah.
Conor McGregor, MMA fighter, UFC champ. He had one that really resonated with me, and that was pay no attention to what critics say. A statue has never been set up in honor of a critic. And I love that. And when I thought about it, I can't think of any statues being erected.
So true. So everyone, that is your quote that's going to set up your podcast.
Yeah, I like it.
Next week. It is, because you don't have to worry about it. It's going to do it.
Yeah, 100%. Just do it. I'm going to screenshot it. I'm going to have it on my wall when I get home.
Let's do it. So your sabbatical, so we're quite long on time, but I wanted to mention it.
Yeah.
So if you could just explain to anyone listening, you took a sabbatical, and this is someone that is in business and took time out, why you did it, what you learnt from that, or this is fantastic stuff.
I'm going to struggle to squeeze this into 5 minutes, but to give it a bit of context, myself and Michael had been trading under Ascension for 4 years. Prior to that, we'd been working together for 3 or 4 years before that, and had holidays in between, but never really took the time to step away from the business. You're familiar with the concept of working in the business or on the business?
Yeah, get it.
When sometimes it's really hard to separate the two. And for me, we'd grown the business to a certain size, it had become a little bit stagnant, and I needed something to almost flick a switch and hit a reset button. Training wasn't doing it for me, habits weren't doing it for me, and I just needed to step out of the situation and come back to it completely refreshed. So it felt really daunting at the time. It felt like if I stepped away from the business, that the whole thing might just implode. I'd come back and there'd be nothing left. But luckily for me, I'm quite fortunate. Obviously, I've got a partner. So I took the decision to take 6 weeks out, completely off of the business, had access to my emails, but outside of that, I didn't take any phone calls whatsoever. And I went travelling around Asia for 6 weeks, which was it's a continent that I'd never ever been to. Don't speak the language, not familiar with food.
And on your own, just on your own?
Completely on my own. And that was the biggest thing for me, is loads of my friends wanted to come, of course. But for me, I wanted to step outside of my comfort zone and see how I would fare, just, you know, me and my phone, basically. See if I could survive. The reality was, I could have got 2 weeks into it, hated every minute of it, and decided to catch a flight home. But we live in such a connected world nowadays that wouldn't have been a bad experience either. So yeah. I thought, I'm just going to go. I had all my flights booked. I had some hotels booked, and I thought, I'm just going to wing it. I'm just going to go out there, and I'm going to see another part of the world. And it really was an eye opener for me.
And did you learn anything about yourself in the 6 weeks?
Yeah, massively more confident.
Yeah.
Less, I really value my friends and family's opinions, probably to my own detriment prior to going on my sabbatical. Now, you know, I still value opinions, but I wouldn't ever let them prevent me from doing something that I believed was the right thing. So really good. I suppose that ties into confidence.
Yeah. What about now you've come back? How's it impacting your work? How do you feel about it?
Well, today's a great example of it. Recording our first podcast, being on film in front of the camera. For me, it's a comfort zone thing. It wasn't something that I was previously comfortable with. But I think growth happens in the areas that you are uncomfortable. I do believe that growth starts at the end of your comfort zone. So it was just, it was stretching itself. So coming back, it allowed me to reflect massively from an outside perspective, to actually step away and not be so close to the situation. You know, people say that you can't always see the forest through the trees.
100%, mate. 100%.
Never really understood it until I was in that situation.
So it's had a real positive impact.
Massively.
Yeah, it's great.
Mindset, health.
Mate, listen, it's been amazing catching up with you. I will leave in the notes how people can find you, how people can connect with you.
Yeah,
anything? What have you got coming? What you got? Anything coming up? Obviously, you're gonna have a new podcast to listen to. So
yeah, we'll have a new podcast.
And by the time this might be out in a couple of weeks when it's out, and we might have a podcast I can share.
Should we set a date? Should we make it?
Mate, do it. Let's do it now.
What's the date today? All right, let's say the 15th of October.
Great. That's first podcast. You're gonna have that, which I can mention in the notes. Anything else you want to mention you've got going on, and how people can find you?
Yeah, definitely. We're going to have a massive, massive social media presence. I think we're going to go big on video, whether that's through YouTube or LinkedIn. I'm not entirely sure yet, but keep an eye out for that. We're going to be launching a new service. It's going to be under the brand Talent Magnet, which I'm really, really excited about, because there's lots of companies out there that want to grow, that want to hire new staff, and sometimes can't find them on their own through the efforts that they've made. So they go to an agency, which is obviously very, very expensive as a rule of thumb. Our new product is going to allow you to keep all your recruitment in-house. It's going to give your jobs and your vacancies maximum exposure across the internet, different social media platforms, and it's going to be really cost effective and affordable as well. So keep an eye out for Talent Magnet in the coming months.
H, listen, thanks so much for coming on, mate. Just from my perspective, been a great guest, and look forward to now seeing your podcast in a couple of weeks' time.
Looking forward to you being on it. Thank you, mate. For having me. Pleasure.
Cheers, H. Thank you, mate. Cheers, bud.
Really enjoyed that chat with H. He's such a positive, enthusiastic, and nice guy, and great energy. Made some really good points, and it's interesting that he's been in business, you know, a few years. He's possibly one of the youngest guests we had on, but just his ambition, his drive, his willingness to learn, and his just mindset about self-development and what he's trying to achieve in his career is really sort of inspiring, actually. And some really good take-home points, just how the importance of learning and having mentors around him, his personal development from terms from meditation, exercise, how it takes his lifestyle really important, and just his mindset around work ethic and the attributes of being persistent and consistent, and how that's helping him to be successful. And yeah, I wish him all the best with his new venture coming up, Talent Magnet. Thank you so much for listening to the podcast today. Hope you enjoyed the episode and got value from it. Please, if you can, share or leave us a review, as it will help to reach more people on the podcast, which is something we're hugely passionate about. If you just want to connect with me, then get in touch on LinkedIn, Oliver Berquez. Yeah, I'd love to connect and I'd love to hear from you, and look forward to checking in with you at the next episode.